So we saw the providence of God, and in the providence of God, you remember we saw there were two things. There was, first of all, there was the warden, you remember? The warden, Potiphar, important man in Egyptian politics. This was the man that would actually become the ruler of not only Joseph's life, but we'll see also many other ways as well. The warden, and very important man. And then there was the work. It was the humiliating work of a slave. But by these two things, we noted that the providence of God developed Joseph's capacity for service and also his character for service. God doesn't waste time. He uses every situation to do a work in our life. And so that's exactly what happened here. And of course, as a result of this, Joseph was well equipped for the promotion that would soon be coming his way. We not only saw the providence of God, we saw the performance of Joseph. In his performance, it was exceptional, simply because his attitude was phenomenal. That makes sense? His performance was exceptional because his attitude was phenomenal. There were four things. We saw his wisdom. Because of Joseph's walk with God, God caused everything Joseph did to prosper. And that's wise when you walk with God. We saw his welcome. He was welcomed into the house of Potiphar. He wasn't just living out in the slaves' quarters. Now he's been invited to come into the house. And so the welcome. We saw his witness. Joseph let Potiphar know that his efficiency was not because of his own abilities. Rather, it was because of God's blessings in his life. And then we saw his worth. Joseph was immediately seen to be Potiphar's most valuable servant. And so Joseph was promoted over everything that Potiphar owned. But when God is blessing his faithful servants, and when God is preparing them for some future work, you need to understand that Satan is not going to just sit on his hands and do nothing. You need to understand that. So when God is working to prepare a servant, we need to understand that Satan is going to be doing all he can to short-circuit what God is trying to accomplish. So I want us to notice number three. We're going to continue where we kind of left off last time. We saw the providence of God, the performance of Joseph. Now I want us to notice the proposition of Satan. The proposition of Satan. This young man, because of his walk with God, because of his work ethic, had been brought into Potiphar's house. He has been commissioned with the oversight of everything that Potiphar owned. But not only was Joseph a smart young man, and not only was he a resourceful young man, the Bible says in verse number 6, chapter 39, the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. In other words, Joseph had two things. He had brains, he had looks. Had look. He's a handsome young man. Kind of like, you know, I mean, what can I say? Yeah, but yeah, he's a handsome young man. Handsome young man. Well-toned muscles, you know. I used to have well-toned muscles, and then they all kind of fell down into my pants. But anyway, this is an exceptional young man. Smart, good-looking. And now Satan is going to do what he can to try to stop, try to hinder God's plan. And he's going to do it by seeking to destroy God's man. He's going to try to destroy God's man. I want you to notice several things here with me tonight. Letter A, his timing. His timing. Verse number 7. It came to pass, the Bible says, now notice the timing, it came to pass after these things. After these. In other words, even though Joseph had been sold into slavery, Joseph is now beginning to enjoy some of the blessings of God. He's enjoying now a promotion. He's enjoying being brought up into a place of favor. He's enjoying a place of prominence. And now we find that in before everything had kind of been dark, but now it's like the lights have come on. And he's moving from a time that is very difficult. Now he's moving into a time that is, life is pretty good now. Life is pretty good. And it's at that time that Satan attacks. The timing of it. I want you to notice letter B, his instrument. His instrument. It's interesting to notice as you go through the Bible that Satan very, very seldom shows up as himself. Did you ever notice that? Satan very seldom shows up as himself. He always comes in a disguise. In the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, he came in the form of a serpent. Came in the form of a serpent. Here in our text, Satan's going to show up and he's going to come in the skin of a beautiful woman. He always comes in a disguise. Never comes as that roaring lion, you know. He always comes in a very secret way, a very subtle way. And so I want us to notice the instrument, verse number 7. The Bible says, Joseph, good-looking guy, and his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Here is what we could call the history of sin. The history of sin. It's amazing how often sin begins with a look. Begins with a look. For example, Eve, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, she saw the fruit of the tree and she ate it and broke God's law. Sinned against God. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they fell. The Bible says in Genesis 13:10 that Lot lifted up his eyes and looked on the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and moved his family into a spiritually disastrous situation. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, that Achan, when they came into the city of Jericho, he saw some stuff. Gold and silver and Babylonian garment. He saw it, lusted at it, and took it. The Bible records the sad story. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 2. David went up on the rooftop when he should have been out in the battle. He was at home watching TV and went up on the rooftop and he saw Bathsheba. And you know the result of that. It's amazing how often that sin begins with a look. The bottom line, when you look at all of these people I've just mentioned, all of them fell into a grievous sin because they did not guard their eyes. They did not guard the eye gate. And many people today are foolishly and needlessly ruining their lives because of the very same failure. Every one of us needs to follow the wise determination of the psalmist. You know what the psalmist's determination was? You can find it, Psalm 101, verse number 3. In Psalm 101, verse 3, the psalmist, here's his determination. He said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That includes a computer screen. That includes websites that carry pornographic images and materials. The psalmist said, I'm not going to put anything that's wicked before my eyes. Why? Because what you look at is going to be what you think about. What you think about is what you're going to do. What you do is going to be what you become. It all starts with the eyes. Starts with the eyes. Mrs. Potiphar began, she began looking. She began looking. And she began lusting after something that she had no business looking at or lusting after. And because she had no relationship with the true and the living God, she just naturally gave in to her wicked desires. And she became like that foolish woman that the wise man spoke about. The foolish woman who lures young men into sexual sin by declaring, Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 17, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. That's what she did. That's what she did. Satan's instrument. I want you to notice letter C, his disappointment. His disappointment. To a young man like Joseph, he's not yet 20 years of age, just a young fella. Such a proposition as was presented to him would have certainly been tempting. Raging hormones of the young, you know what I'm talking about. Raging hormones of the young would have naturally kicked into overdrive. He would also have certainly found it to be exciting to experience the pleasures of a sexual relationship. That would have been exciting for a young man. To experience such a thing would have certainly been flattering to him, that an older, experienced woman would find him attractive. Ooh, boy, that's kind of flattering. It's kind of flattering. But Satan's plan was greatly disappointed. Notice a couple of things here. Number one, Joseph's response, verse number 8. Mrs. Potiphar says, lie with me. Joseph's response, very simple. Bible says three words. But he refused. He refused. And I want you to notice, number two, Joseph's reasons. Why did he refuse? Well, the two reasons are given to us in our text. First of all, there was a loyalty to his master. A loyalty to his master. Verse 8 and verse number 9. Joseph said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. Now we talked about this last week. Remember, Potiphar did not even know what he had. All he knew, there was food on the table. Everything else was entrusted to Joseph. And Joseph mentions that fact here. And he says, there is none greater in this house than I. I've got control over everything that he owns. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. You're the one. You're the one thing I have no right. I have no right to. And because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness? In other words, my master has entrusted me with everything that he has except you, and you are his wife, and how can I do this great wickedness against him who has put so much trust and confidence in me? What a betrayal. How can I do that? How can I ever justify betraying the confidence of my master? Loyalty. Well, that's something we don't hear a lot about today, is it? Loyalty. But Joseph had loyalty. Not only loyalty to his master, notice another one. There was loyalty to his God. loyalty to his God. Verse 8 and verse 9, Joseph said to his master's wife. Now notice it in verse 9. Not only he says, how can I do this great wickedness against my master? But then he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this? Because the temptation failed. Satan has come dressed in the skin of a beautiful woman, has presented the temptation, come lie with me. Joseph says, oh, no. No, I'm not going to betray my master. I'm not going to betray my God. I'm not going to go that way. No. Answer is no. And so the Bible says that Satan then said, oh, well, I tried my best. You believe that? No. Satan never gives up. I like what one commentator said. He said it very well. He said, even though you may have conquered gallantly in previous temptations, this will never deter the enemy of your soul from a return engagement. In other words, just because you won the victory today doesn't mean Satan's not going to show up again tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And that's exactly what happened to Joseph, by the way. Notice letter D, his persistence. His persistence. Someone is well noted, one drop of water will not wear away a rock, but many drops of water will. Many drops of water will. And that's why Satan is always so persistent. He just keeps after us. And just keeps after us. And about the time you think you've got it whipped, then he shows up and he's after you again. After you again. It was certainly true in the life of... This may surprise you. It was true in the life of the Lord Jesus. Did you know that? It was true in the life of the Lord Jesus. You remember after his baptism, Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse number 13, that when the devil had ended all the temptation, in other words, for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan has been hounding and tempting the Lord Jesus and doing everything he can to try to get Jesus to sin against God. And at the end of 40 days, he still hasn't been able to accomplish what he desired. And so the Bible says he ended all of the temptation. And then notice the next few words. He departed from him for a season. You know what that means? He came back. Yeah, he came back and tried some more. And if Satan worked that way in the life of the Holy Son of God, don't you ever get to the point where you think that he won't work that way in your life as well. That's why we need to continually be on guard. Satan, even though he failed, he came back. And came back. By the way, that's what he did in the life of Joseph. Did you notice it? Verse number 10. It came to pass. Remember? She brought the temptation. Joseph said, no. How can I do this against my master? How can I do this against my God? But notice verse 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph. What's the next three words? Day by day. Every day. Same temptation. Every day, same invitation. Every day, persistently. There it is. There it is. Day by day. And yet, day by day, he hearkened not unto her. He hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. Now, I want you to notice, I think we find here something about the way Satan operates. We find the sneakiness of his persistence. The sneakiness of his persistence. Notice three things. First of all, back in verse number 7, what was the temptation? You remember? Somebody talk to me. Lie with me. Lie with me, right? That was the temptation. Lie with me. That was the temptation. In other words, let's have a relationship. Improper. But let's have a relationship together. Let's have a relationship together. But as we've already seen, Joseph absolutely refused to do such a thing. How can I betray my master? How can I betray my God? No, I will not lie with you. So notice the next thing. Verse number 10, lie by me. Did you see that? Oh, we won't do anything wrong. Let's just kind of snuggle together. Lie by me. Big difference from lying with me and lying by me, right? Big difference. Oh, we won't do anything wrong. Let's just kind of snuggle here, you know. We'll just sort of lay here and smooch and kiss and play around, you know. We won't do anything. We won't let it go too far. Boy, many a fool has bought that line. Many a fool has bought that line. By the way, let me just say to you young people here, any young person that takes a member of the opposite sex into a room and shuts the door and lays down on a bed or on a couch, you are an idiot. That is foolishness. You're just asking for tragic results. That is a tragic thing. You're begging for trouble. But Joseph had the good sense. He said, I'm not going to lie with you, and I'm not even going to lie by you. In fact, because of that, notice the next thing. Well, we won't lie together, and we won't lie beside each other, so let's just be together. Right? Be with me. Be with me. In other words, let's just hang out. Let's just hang out. But you know, the Bible says something about when you take and play with fire, you know what happens? You're going to get burned. And so Joseph refused all of it. He would not sin, but here's another thing. He would not even compromise with sin. Not only did he refuse to do that which was wrong, he refused to compromise with the sinful act. And so therefore, whenever he saw Mrs. Potiphar headed his way, he had somewhere else he needed to be. And he refused to even be with that woman in the same room. He refused. Refused. And yet still, Satan would not give up. I mean, you got to give the devil his due. He is persistent. He is persistent. And even still, Satan would not give up. And so I want you to notice letter E, his treachery. His treachery. Verse number 11. It came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. Now here we find the treachery. You see, if Satan cannot get us to foolishly fall into sin from a frontal attack, if he can't get us to foolishly fall into sin, then he'll try to sneak around and catch us when we least expect it. And so in our text we find that Joseph, he's in the house. He's simply going about his duties. He's the one who is in charge of everything in the house. And so he's in the house. He's going about his duties and doing the things that Potiphar required of him. And so he's in the house faithfully doing what his master has commanded him to do. And yet Joseph, in the midst of doing all of that, inadvertently, no fault of his own, inadvertently blundered into a dangerous situation. He did not realize that all the other men had been sent out. And now it's just him and her. Just him and her. Now the Bible does not say, but considering what we've already seen, I believe Mrs. Potiphar arranged all of this. I believe she's the one that instigated it. She's the one that put all of it into play. And now Joseph, through no fault of his own, suddenly finds himself alone. Now, we mentioned earlier that for Joseph, being a strong and healthy young man, it would be flattering to his ego for an older woman to find him attractive. Remember that? Well, in the same way, other side of the coin, I think it would have been flattering for Mrs. Potiphar for a younger man to find her attractive. Right? But Joseph, on every level, has rejected her. And you've heard the old saying, all right? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, right? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. And so therefore now they're all alone. She's determined she's going to have her way. She's going to get what she wants. Verse number 12, she caught him by the garment, saying, notice it, started out lie with me, then it was lie by me, and then it was just be with me, but now it's back to where it was originally. She grabs him by the garment and said, lie with me. Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In other words, I like what one commentator said, Joseph, he lost his coat, but he kept his character. He lost his coat, but he kept his character. He just got out of the house. In other words, he did exactly what the Apostle Paul later would tell young Timothy to do. Flee. Right? Just get out. And so Joseph, she grabs his coat, and Joseph said, you can have it, I'm out of here. And he was gone. And he left. Letter F. His slander. If Satan cannot cause God's man to ruin his own reputation by foolishly falling into sin, then Satan will seek to destroy the man of God with slanders and with lies. He'll seek to destroy the man of God with slanders and with lies. That's exactly what we find in our text. Notice the lies that are told now. First of all, the lies to her servants. Verses 13 and following. It came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house. Just kind of mark that away in your memory. Notice who it is she's talking to. Interesting. Not the maids, but the men. That's who she's talking to. Just kind of keep that in your mind. We'll be referring to it again next week. She talks to the men of her house, and she spake unto them, saying, see he, talking about Mr. Potiphar, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. Don't you feel sorry for me? And they all said, amen. Yeah, we feel sorry for you. Oh, how could such a terrible thing happen? It's a lie. Not only do we see her lie to her servants, we also see her lie to her husband. Verse 16 and following. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. It's a lie. And Satan seeking to destroy God's man with a slander. But then there's another thing I want us to notice about Satan's working, and that's this: his ignorance. His ignorance. Verse 19, verse 20, it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. It's very interesting. A fellow by the name of James Bronson Reynolds, in a periodical called the Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology, he wrote an article entitled Sex, Morals, and the Law in Ancient Egypt and Babylon. In that article, Reynolds wrote this. He said rape was punished by death in that culture. Rape was punished by death. In the case of foreigners, punishment was sometimes commuted to exile. The violation of a free woman, that would have been Mrs. Potiphar, the violation of a free woman was punished by mutilation of the male offender, in other words, castration, on the alleged ground that the crime involved three great wrongs: insult or shame, defilement, or bastardy. In other words, the producing of an illegitimate child. And on those three wrongs, the offender could be mutilated. Bottom line, humanly speaking, right now, Joseph, he's in big trouble. Joseph is in really serious trouble. But what Satan failed to realize, and what we're going to see next time and over the next couple of weeks, what Satan failed to realize was simply that by having Joseph put into prison, he was actually moving Joseph one step closer to the throne that God had promised him. He's actually moving Joseph one step closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. I want you to understand tonight, every child of God needs to understand that we have seen illustrated here in the life of Joseph. We have seen illustrated here the very same truth that we find in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where it says that are you listening? Talking to you. Your adversary. My adversary. Our adversary. The devil. Like a roaring lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I want to say to you that the only way that we're going to survive like Joseph did, the only way we're going to survive being devoured by that enemy, is by staying as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as we possibly can. Have you heard stories? Have you heard stories about people that would go to a zoo, and everybody wants to see how close they can get to the lion? Have you ever seen the videos? Yep. Have you ever seen the videos? Yeah. They want to see how close they can get to the lion, you know, and eventually that old lion says, "Oh, you want to get close, do you? Well, here, let me help." And he reaches out with and many have died that way. But you know what? Nobody ever got mauled by a lion when they stay away from the lion. Duh. Yeah, have you ever noticed that? Yeah, it's when you try to get close to sin, that's when you get hurt. Best way to avoid that is just stay as close to Christ as you can. Don't walk near the edge. Stay close to the Savior. Stay close to the Savior. May God help each one of us to be spiritually wise like Joseph, so that we do not fall for the lies, we do not fall for the temptations of the wicked one who only seeks our hurt and our destruction. Stay close to Christ. Stay close to Christ. Don't fall for the lies that He would tell you. Stay close to Christ. Heavenly Father, take these thoughts, apply them in each heart and in each...